Good morning. This morning's message is going to reflect a little bit back on a little bit what we talked about 2 weeks ago and a little bit also on last week. So you can keep that in mind as we go through this. We're going to look at two women. But it's not a message for women necessarily. But as we look at these two women, there's a lot of things that we can glean from that, including us guys, to learn. And the first woman is a woman of godly character, and the second is a woman of satanic character. Last week, we also talked about younger believers, not young in age, but young spiritually. I mean, you could be 80 years old and only be saved for a week or two. So it has nothing to do with age. But we talked about them getting godly, sound advice from mature believers and how it can be a help. And we'll see some of that here as well. We're going to see about sin in our lives. Today, I hope we'll just see how deceitful this sin can be and how valuable godly counsel and godly character can be, how helpful it is to us. So if you would you turn to the book of Proverbs, chapter 11, and we'll get started in verse 14. Proverbs 11:14. It says, where no counsel is, the people fall. The word counsel there is guidance, to steer properly, to navigate. Where there is no one navigating, where there's nobody properly steering, the people fall. But in the multitude of counselors, there is safety. Much sound counsel will help steer you and I correctly as we go through time. Verse 15. He that is surety for a stranger shall smart for it, and he that hateth suretyship is sure. Now, that doesn't seem to make a whole lot of sense to me when I read it at first, but what it means is to be surety is for a stranger means to guarantee his debt or his promissory note. The person who does this will suffer for it. That is, he will pay a stinging penalty. The man who hates surety saves himself a lot of headaches. In other words, you co-sign a loan for somebody, you're responsible. It's going to bring you trouble. So that's what that is about. All right, verse 16. A gracious woman restraineth honor, and strong, the word strong there means ruthless. Strong men retain riches. These ruthless men may retain the riches, but they never get a good name. If you would turn to Proverbs chapter 12, verse 4. Proverbs 12:4 says, a virtuous woman is a crown to her husband. The word crown there means honor, royalty, of high value. He has great value to she does to her husband. But she that maketh ashamed is rottenness in his bones. The word rottenness, decay. Think of cancer. Eating away at the bones. Decay. Maketh ashamed is rottenness in his bones. She is worth less than nothing, of no value at all. This cancer, this rottenness. Verse 5. The thoughts of the righteous are right, but the counsels of the wicked are deceit. Godly counsel's got a high value, but you be careful who you're getting your counsel from. Make sure it's somebody that's got it going for them with their relationship to God. Otherwise, your ship is going to be off course. If you would, turn to chapter 14, just a couple of chapters over. Verse 1. Proverbs 14:1 says, "Every wise woman buildeth her house." The word house there can mean a structure, but it means family life, her household. The woman cares for her family and her husband. Her family life. She buildeth her family life. But the foolish plucketh it down with her hands. Now I want you to be mindful of this verse as we go on, because we're going to see both examples. Plucketh it down with her hands. The foolish woman will destroy her family and marriage. And guess what? A man can do the same. This is not gender specific when it comes to these things. If you would, turn to Proverbs 31. Verse 10. We're going to look at the godly woman first. It says, "Who can 31:10? Who can find a virtuous woman?" What's a virtuous woman? A morally good, abstaining from vice, practicing the moral duties, doing what is right before God. Who can find a virtuous woman? For her price is far above rubies. A virtuous or fine woman, wife, who is able to diligent, worthy, and good. Her worth cannot be measured in terms of jewels, because she's worth far more than the jewels are. Verse 11. The heart of her husband doth safely trust in her. The word safely there means personal or private gain. She is a great gain to me as a husband. Doth safely trust in her, so that she have no need of spoil. Now, what exactly is this talking about? Have no need of spoil. Spoil is to take something that doesn't originally belong to you, to him. In this case, another woman. He already has what he needs at home, because she is virtuous and good to him. If you would, slide down to verse 27. It says, "She looketh well to the ways of her household, and eateth not," this is the good wife, "and eateth not the bread of idleness." She's working diligently day after day of taking care of her husband and her family, building it up, taking care of the children, make sure they grow into good adults, believing in God, teaching them the scriptures. She's working at this. No idleness in her life. Verse 28. "Her children arise up and call her blessed. Her husband also, and he praises her." This virtuous woman is worthy of her husband's praise. Men, when was the last time you praised your wife? If she's diligently working at things to build your household, to take care of you, to take care of children, when was the last time you gave her a compliment on that issue of being a virtuous woman? She's working hard at this. I'll give you an example. When I was working in engineering, I, over the period of years, I ended up with a lot of awards and some patents and things like that. But you know what? You know what impressed me the absolute most? I came home from work one day and I told my wife what I was working on. And she told me that she was proud of me. You know what? That meant more to me than all the plaques on the wall and the awards and all that stuff. When I came home, my wife told me she was proud of me. They can keep their award. I mean, it was nice to get. But the one that meant the most to me was when Barbara told me she was proud of me. So guess what, guys? It doesn't hurt to go the other way either. It really doesn't. She's worth more than rubies. Verse 29. Many daughters have done virtuously, but thou excellest them all. You're even greater than all the rest of them to me, you are. Favor is deceitful and beauty is vain, but a woman who feareth the Lord shall be praised. Now, kind of a side note, but it's what came to my mind when I was looking at this, when it talks about beauty. And if a woman is beautiful, but doesn't have the sweetness inside, she doesn't care at all for you. Let me tell you something. That beauty on the outside gets ugly real fast. If you living with that, if that is your wife and she's just pretty, but on the inside there's no prettiness, she gets ugly real fast. And guess what, guys? It's the same way the other way around. If we're always grouchy, or we're not kind to our wives, no matter what you think, you're not the catch you think you are. You're not. No matter how good looking you may think you are, if it's not sweet on the inside, you get ugly real fast. Verse 31. Give her of the fruit of her hands, and let her own works praise her in the gates. I believe this would be referring to her children and stuff as they go in and out. The children, her husband will praise her. Why? Because of the works that she has done to build and to nurture her family. If you would, turn to Proverbs chapter 7. Verse 1, Proverbs 7:1 says, my son, keep my words and lay up my commandments. The term lay up there means to hoard or to hide my commandments with thee. God says, remember my instructions to you, my laws. Verse 2, keep my commandments, laws, or instructions, and live. In my law, as the apple of thine eye, be very protective of the things that God has taught you. They're working in your heart. Do not give them up. Treat it as the apple of your eye. And you get just a little speck of dirt in your eye, and it hurts. God says, protect it. Verse 3. Bind them upon thy fingers. Write them upon the table of thine heart. It's all about the heart. Verse 4. Say unto wisdom, thou art my sister, and call understanding thy kinswoman. Wisdom and understanding is to be my co-travelers as I travel through time. As I live out my life, I'm supposed to take wisdom and understanding with me. Verse 5. That they, that's wisdom and understanding, may keep thee from the strange woman, from the stranger, which flattereth with her words. This strange woman is an adulterous woman. Now we're going to look at the woman that's not so nice. From this adulterous woman, from the stranger which flattereth with her words, sin will do and say anything to get us to fall for it, to convince us to commit sin. This sin or harlot will use flattering words to trap you. Cling to God's wisdom and understanding. Cling, hold on tight. Verse 7, beheld amongst the simple ones, the foolish, I discerned among the youth a young man void of understanding. This young man is lacking God's wisdom. He's being driven by lust. Like I said last week, we talked about the young believers seeking out mature believers to get sound godly advice. This young man was not one of those. Verse 8, passing through the street near her corner, he's out walking around, and he went the way to her house. In the twilight, in the evening, in the black and dark night. In the dark, we think nobody will see our sin. Our sins will stay hidden. You don't have to turn there because most of you know the verse, but Psalm 23:4 says, yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, the deep darkness, I will fear no evil. Why is that, God? For thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. God's light illumines the sin even in the darkness. God is well aware. We can't hide it from Him. God's light exposes all sin. Verse 10. And behold, there met him a woman with the attire of a harlot. And subtle means to hide a bad thing. Convincing, deceptive. She's cunning. Subtle of heart. She was hiding something, the consequences of sin. The devil does the same. If we were to look back at Genesis 3:1, it says, and now the serpent was more subtle than any beast of the field. He too hid the consequences of sin, which the Lord God had commanded and said unto the woman, yea, hath God said, ye shall not eat of every tree of the garden? Well, that was a lie. He twisted truth. He lied. And he hid the consequences of that sin. This woman is doing the same. This harlot. Verse 11. She is loud and stubborn. Her feet abide not in her house. Her feet weren't staying in her household. Not taking care of her children and her husband. She's not gracious. She's not modest. She's brash and loud and aggressive. Not for her to be a homemaker. She's not aggressive to be a homemaker, but a homewrecker. She must prowl the streets for clients, like the devil going to and fro, looking for whom he may devour. This harlot is an instrument of Satan and uses the same type of tactics. Verse 12. Now is she without, now in the streets, and lieth in wait at every corner? She seems to be everywhere. At times she's outside, at times she's in the open square, lurking in every corner. You know what sin is like that? If you're looking for it, it's real easy to find. Just like this harlot. Now, a lot of times you can go through certain parts of a city and never even notice that perhaps the prostitutes or whatever. But if you're looking for one, you can pick them out. Sin is easy to find if we're not careful. Verse 13. So she caught him. Think of to seize, to restrain, to conquer. Like a black widow spider caught its prey. And she caught him and kissed him, and with an impudent face said unto him, impudent, a hard look. You know, a lot of times you can look at a person, and if they've been living in the fast lane for a lot of years, or a lot of times if they're drug users, you look at them and you know right off the bat. That's a hard woman. That's a hard man. You don't even have to know the heart. It shows their lifestyle. It shows upon their face. She kissed him, and with a hard look, looking face, she said unto him, I have peace offerings with me. Peace offerings with you. She's a harlot. Don't worry. God will forgive us. Peace offerings with me. This day have I vowed my vow. I have, paid my vows. This woman must be all right. She's religious. So I guess it's not too bad. The thinking of a young man. Verse 15. Therefore came I forth to meet thee. This is the harlot. She came forth to meet him. Diligently to seek thy face. And I have found thee. You're the one I've been looking for. You're the special one. Sin will hunt you down if you're not careful. This world wants you to fail as a believer. Me to fail as well. She is not done trying to ensnare him in his sin. Not yet. And just think of it. All he had to do was walk away. But he's being tempted. And the longer he stays, the worse it's getting. He could have turned his back and gone another direction, but he didn't. He's being controlled by his lust. And she's feeding that. She knows where the weakness is, just like sin knows the weakness in your life. It doesn't attack you at some place where you're strong in. Sin attacks you where you're weak, where you have a problem, and it's relentless. Verse 16. I have decked my bed with coverings of tapestry. It's all prettied up. With carved works, with fine linen of Egypt. Oh, the very best. Except I want to remind you that Egypt is a picture of worldly sin. She may have decorated her bed, but it's decorated with sin. Her bed is covered with sin. Verse 17, I have perfumed my bed with myrrh, aloes, and cinnamon. Sounds pretty good, huh? She's trying everything in her mind to try to capture this guy, to fall into sin. Let me remind you something. The reason why they would do a lot of things like flowers and cinnamon, today, most people take pretty regular showers. Not in that day. People did not bathe like they do today. Those things were put out because, you know what? Probably both of us smelled pretty bad. You know what? That's really what sin does too. Sin smells bad to God. What are we told that when they would bring a sacrifice and they would burn it, God says, I can smell it. The incense, it smells sweet to me. Why? Because it's covering sin. God says it smells good. Here, the smell is not good. Not good at all. Verse 18. Come, let us take our fill of love until the morning. Let us solace ourselves with lust, with love. Actually, this is lust. It's not love. There's no love involved here. Now, the next verse, which really should stick in our minds. For the good man is not at home. This woman's married. She's married. For the good man is not at home. He is gone a long journey. No virtue is found in this woman. Verse 20, he hath taken a bag of money with him, and he will come home at the day appointed. Don't worry, my husband won't be home for a while. Verse 21, with her much fair speech, she caused him to yield. With flattering of her lips, she forced him. She used all of her persuasion to get him to commit sin with her, just like Satan with Eve. He also hid the consequences of sin, just like this woman. Remember, this young man could have walked away at any time. He could still walk away, but that's not what has taken place. That would have ended it right there if he would have just walked away. Verse 22, he goeth after her straightway as an ox goeth to slaughter. Straightway means to be, here it means to be led by lust. He was led by his lust as an ox to the slaughter, or as a fool to the correction of the stocks. He ended up being trapped and as a beast to the slaughter when or if he realized the trap and the penalty, it was too late. Sin has a heavy cost. Verse 23, till a dart strike through his liver, as a bird hasteth to the snare and knoweth not that it is for his life. Sin can be very enticing, but it's a path that leads to hell. Verse 24. Hearken unto me now, therefore, O ye children, and attend to the words of my mouth. God is warning them ahead of time by this illustration. Grab onto the things of God. Be the virtuous man or woman. Being right. Doing what is right. Don't get caught up in this. Verse 25, let not thine heart decline to thy ways. Walk or run away. Get away from her. Go not astray in her paths. Don't follow her. Be the virtuous man or woman. Morally good, abstaining from vice, practicing the moral duties of God, and honoring our Lord Jesus. 26, for she hath cast down many wounded, man after man, yea, many strong men have been slain by her. She leaves a path of destruction everywhere. The strength that we need to beat sin is not found in us. The closer we are to the Lord, the more success we'll have in fighting our own sinful lust. How does this woman's sin affect her family's life? Verse 27, her house, her household, her family, is the way to hell, going down to the chambers of death. Her sin is dragging her family and many others into destruction because of a burning desire, a burning lust within her and this young man. If you would turn to Psalm 73. We'll start in verse 17. Psalm 73, 17. It says, until I went into the house or into the sanctuary of God, then understood I their end. Their sin is tempting, but the psalmist could see what it led to, God's judgment. Surely thou didst set them in slippery places. Sinning by choice puts you in a slippery place. This guy could have turned around and left at any time, but no, he stayed. And he slipped right into sin. Surely thou didst set them in slippery places. Thou castest them down into destruction. They were right on the edge. It took almost no effort. 19. How are they brought into desolation, destruction? As in a moment, they were utterly consumed with terrors. The word terror there is to extreme terrors, scared to death. 20, as a dream when one awaketh, so, O Lord, when thou awakest, thou shalt despise their image. God hates the very image of sin. It bothers him deeply. And not only just sin for sin's sake, but what it does to mankind. It's ruining families, this one particular sin. It's ruining marriages. Verse 21, thus my heart was grieved, and I was pricked in my reins. The reins, the innermost parts, the deepest organs of a person, the emotional center of who I am. I was pricked deep in my heart. So foolish was I and ignorant, means when I choose to sin, when I messed up. I was so foolish. I was as a beast before thee. Lord, I was as an ignorant, stupid, dumb ox before you. I don't know about you, but I have felt that way in my life. I've messed up. I've chosen to do something that was wrong. And afterward, I've prayed that prayer. God, you know I can be so dumb sometimes. God, I'm as a beast before you. Lord, help me. He's always come to my rescue. Verse 23, I believe. Nevertheless, I, sinner saved by grace, am continually with thee. I'm with God. Thou hast holden me by my right hand. Lord, thank you. Even when I was caught up in sin, you haven't given up on me. Thou shalt guide me with thy counsel, and afterward receive me to glory. This is for those that put their faith in Christ to rescue their souls. The blood of Christ has washed me in spite of my continual sin. Verse 25, who have I in heaven but thee? And there is none upon earth that I desire beside thee. Without being in close fellowship with the Lord, sin will beat me every time. Why? Because my flesh and your flesh love sin. That's how we got involved in it in the first place. You don't get trapped by sin because your flesh hates it. You get trapped by sin because your flesh enjoys it. How do you expect to beat it in your own flesh? You can't. Your flesh loves it. You aren't going to beat sin by just determining, I'm not going to do that again. And Pastor spoke something about it, I think it was last Sunday, a little bit. If we're trying to do it in our flesh, we're going to be failures. Absolutely. And I can tell you that from my own personal experience. And I think most of you know that as well. How many times have we said, I'm not going to do that again, and we find ourselves doing it? Sorry, Joey. But it happens. And we're not going to have victory until we're holding on tight to Jesus. Look into the Spirit of God to change the desire of the heart from within. That's when the victory comes. I've got to go from my flesh loving that to me, the inner man, hating that. Not only hating it, but hating it to death. I'm sick to death of what that sin is. Verse 26, is that where I left off in 25, correct? I hope. Anyway, verse 26, my flesh and my heart faileth, but God is the strength of my heart and my portion forever. For lo, they that are far from thee, the unsaved, shall perish. They're all caught up in this. They have nothing to defeat sin. All they've got is their flesh, and their flesh loves it. Thou hast destroyed all them that go a-whoring from thee. Those that are not saved in the Lord Jesus shall perish, but the church, we are the Lord's bride. And if we don't give Him first place in our hearts, very first, I love my wife, but she knows, I've told her many times, she doesn't have first place in my life, in my heart. My God does. Barbara's second, but my God's got first place. Guess what? If we are the bride, if we are Christ's bride, He's supposed to have first place in our life and heart. And a lot of times that's not the case. Otherwise, God says, we have gone a-whoring. That's not just to a people, that's to a person as well. If God does not have first place, your heart has gone a-whoring. You're no better than that woman standing on a street corner. We don't like to think of ourselves that way, but that's what God says. He is jealous and wants to be first place in our heart's desires. Verse 28, "But it is good for me to draw near to God. I have put my trust in the Lord God that I may declare all His works." I was going to do something else, but I don't have time. Okay. I was going to try to wrap it up a little bit better, but may we close in prayer. Just remember, fighting against sin in your flesh is a losing proposition. It really is. Be careful who you get in counsel from. It's got to be good, godly counsel if we're going to have victory, if we're going to steer our ship right.